So what are the other two things that you want to cover tonight?
Okay,
John,
number six is what I call... number six I call metrics of management fatness. I would like us to develop metrics of the management fraction of the payrolls station by station and department by department. This would support interstation comparisons and might prove illuminating, particularly toward the goal of identifying best practices.
That shouldn't be hard to do. That's basically a pie chart.
It's a spreadsheet sort of thing here. But my question is, do we already have them? I mean, I'm new here. Do we already have these metrics of management fatness? I think that KPFK is going to turn out to have a high management fraction.
I'd like to see it
so that I could see, for example, I bet you Texas is leaner than we are here
in LA. Texas is lean and mean.
I'd like to see it as a number so that we could make comparisons and there will be individual differences, extenuating circumstances, but I'd just like to see it as a set of numbers. So what do you guys think about developing these metrics for these comparisons?
Let me interject for one moment, if I may. Lavarne, is that something that could be generated fairly easily with the software that we currently have in terms of a report? It's a unit-by-unit report that just, allocates management separately from non-management staff positions, union or non-union, but non-management. Is that something that could be generated without too much fuss and bother for each unit that just says, this unit has, 15% management and this one has 45% management? I mean, he's right. It would give us a better idea to do a comparison, and it doesn't seem like it would be that difficult, but I don't want to task you with things. What's your take on that in terms of the ability to just develop a fast little percentage spreadsheet? It doesn't seem that hard, but... LaVarne?
Hi.
She's thinking.
She's in shock over it.
She's thinking how she can respond.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Pie chart spreadsheet. Some sort of comparison. I think that would give us percentages like he's looking for.
Is LaVarne on mute? I don't hear her.
No, she's there.
No, she's thinking.
It's a legitimate question, because software is designed to do certain specific functions, and sometimes it actually requires, doing it manually or something, because you can't just punch in and say, run this report.
Well, here's what I think. I think our own guy, Anthony, can do it if we ask him to. But my question was, before I invent a new wheel, maybe we already have them here. And so I'm just asking naively, do we already have these? If we do, let's use them or look at them. And if not, well, then we'll invent them.
Well, anyone jump in if you have such a matrix already functioning at your station, since I know of no such thing.
Well, I just have a question for LaVarne. LaVarne?
Yeah, I'm sorry. As you know, there are always fires, so there's this issue we had to take care of. I'm sorry, I had to step away from
that. Okay, no problem. John's asking about management, okay? And I'll ask you this technical question. At KPFT, we have one general manager, one program director, one development director, and one business manager as the top people in our office. Mm-hmm. Would all four of them be considered management? Who would be considered management from your perspective, Madam CFO?
Well, thank you for asking that question. But in the state of Texas, you guys are not in union. So you can define it the standard way of defining a manager. And even like with Markeisha, whether she's supervising someone or not, but she's considered management because of her responsibility and her access to certain data and the fact that she helps in making decisions there concerning finance at the station.
Okay. What about the program director?
Definitely manager, because the program director has some responsibility for supervision of either whatever the programmer's music or talk or whatever. So they have responsibility for programmers.
And what about the development director?
Well, I would consider that also management in terms
sure.
of
okay. Okay.
in terms of the type of responsibility she has and the fact that she's talking with, your major donors. So
and she also has two persons under her.
Oh, well, see, I didn't know that. She absolutely is considered management.
Okay, thank you.
And, you know, if I might say, some stations might end up being looking top-heavy on management, but if those people are carrying a lot of workload, so there's, like, far fewer staff under them, I mean, that's not necessarily illegitimate either. You know, I mean, the structure's different at different stations, but it would be helpful to have an idea of, the fact that she supervises people, that makes her management. But
sure.
Anyway, just comparisons. You know, I went and toured the KPFA building. Suddenly I understood the staffing issues. I was like, wow, you've got such beautiful offices. Of course you have more staff than we do, because you've got to put people in these gorgeous offices. You know what I mean? Honestly, I was like, the space just demands employees. You know what I mean?
Right.
But you get it. It's like, you can't overstaff here because we don't have any place to put it. Anybody, you know what I mean? The archives have to have our building. So, you know, understanding what's really going on when each station is a little different, I think, is helpful to us. So, LaVarne never really got to answer. LaVarne, how hard would it be to make some sort of little chart of these type of things, unit by unit?
Oh, I'm sending it to you. What, you want to see the people, a job title?
Or the percentage breakdown. Yeah, perfect. You're doing it as we speak. I love it. Okay. Thank you.
I'm all for this.
I heard our Paul. Go ahead.
At BAI, we really only have two management, GM and the PD. Our business manager is in the collective bargaining unit, and this isn't just somebody decided it. We actually fought this back in the 90s when manager tried to take the what was the bookkeeper, which they renamed business manager, and which a few months later they turned around and said, oh, it says manager, they're management. And we're taking them out of the CBU, and we won the NLRB over this. So WBAI, our business manager, is in the collective bargaining unit as per a ruling of the NLRB. Development director, we sort of sometimes have one, and they're not. We had had them in the past when they were management, but right now they're not classified as management as far as I know. So we really have two management positions at BAI at this time, unless somebody's doing something odd.
Okay.
Well, it's one of the reasons we need to see these things, I think, and see what the staffing issues are at the different stations and what they're being paid. I mean, there are going to be differences station to station, but there should be some uniformity on some of the positions and what functions are categorized. So, all right, let's move on. John,
okay, well, the last question
you have
is,
one more
the last
thing, right?
Is,
yes.
Yeah, so what is the NFC process for dealing with unbudgeted hires?
Well,
can I chime in real quick,
please,
Summer?
Go ahead.
So just let me chime in real quick, John. My experience, having been involved in this process, and we periodically from KPFT and the management at KPFT and those persons on the board that deal, basically myself and the local finance committee, which thank God there's only five of us, because everybody, when you mention numbers down here in Houston, everybody's eyes glass over. So we have a very small finance committee. Usually we get a request for something, and not only staffing, but just any general area. And I'll give you a quick example. In the development line item, management brought on a consultant several months ago to write 14 proposals to 14 separate local foundations for bits of money to help the radio station. And we looked at the budget, and there was money in the budget that was not necessarily being spent, because at KPFT, management is fairly frugal. So we looked at it. There was money available. We were approaching the end of the fiscal year. We were in month seven. We ran it up, management ran it up to the CFO. CFO reviewed the line items on that particular budget. There was a nod that there was a budgeted amount for expenses, and for those kinds of expenses, and we had not shut the budget out of whack, and it came back down, and we nodded, and we said, yes, the National Finance Committee members from Houston, the CFO, agree that you can go ahead and spend you know, go ahead and bring that consultant over to write those proposals, because we have that line item available in our budget, and we have money in the bank to cover that particular expense. And that's usually how we do it down here in Texas, and this is one of the examples. But we are involved in this type of financial movements that are not necessarily thought of at the beginning of the fiscal year, because it doesn't really happen. But if there would have been no money and no budgeted item there, we would have not approved the general manager to do that effort. So we do have a very limited amount of oversight, and we are very conscious of that oversight, John, and that's how we do it here in Houston.
Thank you, Alberto. Does anyone else want to chime in on that? Hearing none. LaVarne, to your knowledge, I mean, do we have any policies in place regarding unbudgeted hires? Is there anything in writing, or is this just a case-by-case?
No, we're getting something. Arlene's going to send something out in writing. So
but up until now, we have not had such a policy in writing. Is that my
Well, you know, the prior freeze on hiring, I never got a copy of it, because that was put in place before I came on board, I believe.
Yes.
That makes two of us.
and I think that it was like kind of reinforced through conversations, but it was not reissued. And particularly with BAI, because the cuts that were made at BAI totally stopped any movement or anyone there to actually get out premiums to actually, you know, do any of the fulfillment. And in addition to that, at BAI, while I was there, the general manager's salary was not being paid, although the former general manager was on the national payroll.
Yes.
And in addition to that, the ED at the time, the acting ED, only got a part of the salary that's normally paid. So we kind of balanced some of that with BAI in terms of bringing people back who had been cut and who were needed in order to do to enforce the program and in order to produce good program and to ask to raise money. And the other was that we actually corrected a number of union issues that had been outstanding for years. In fact, I was called I was called a union corporatist. I was not anti-union. I was just a union corporatist. So there were some exceptions last year in order to, you know, like to kind of get WBAI whole, and there were plans to do a few other actions too, but that didn't happen. But BAI still needs a dedicated person for their database, and that still is something that I think Berthold and Arlene are working on at this time. So, you know, there are always exceptions when you're actually hurting. But on the other side, like you're saying with PFW, is talking about perhaps taking actions that would reduce some of the costs. Well, you know, that could be implemented along with getting a person on to do the task.
Thank you. John?
Okay, and I'm sending this to you. And let me just remind everyone again, this information is private and confidential.
Yeah, it's like part of our budgeting process, so consider it like any of the other personnel items that you might look at.
Well,
don't
right,
share them or disseminate them outside of this meeting.
Okay.
Or outside of this group, yeah.
Okay, I'm sending it now.
Thank you. And we do need to take, obviously, that unbudgeted staffing issue up when we discuss the KPFK budget next week, because it's a huge issue here locally. So.
Okay, well, send those questions to Anthony so he'll be prepared to talk about them.
Well, some of them are policy issues. I mean, we know who's been hired and that they're not budgeted. It's that this is sort of just sliding on by without opposition because they haven't violated their line items, you know, which is a spurious argument as far as I'm concerned, you know.
Okay, well, put it on for executive session.
Okay, yeah, okay. I will, because I mean, I know that's where John's going with this. We're all on the same page over this thing, and it's the type of thing that maybe we need to, you know, again, develop some further policy that says, you know, it's not just the 10% variance on your line item if you're just taking advantage of the fact that there are people budgeted that haven't been hired. That doesn't give you free rein to just go hire other people. You know? That's sort of a way of getting around the line item variance issue, I think. So we may want to develop a policy here at NFC on that and send it up to the NBA.
Well, you know, you saw me. I defended what had happened at BAI, so I know everyone has a defense for in terms of the things they're doing. So, you know, we can talk about it in the executive session.
And
we can invite, you know, Anthony will be there, and I think with Bob, he said that Anthony can speak to these issues for the station. So Anthony will be able to address those
some of them, and hopefully Arlene will be on the executive session as well, and we can talk about some of these the things that go beyond, you know, specific instances, but back to policy issues. All right, John, is there anything else? Because we are rather late in the agenda, and I would like to go on to R. Paul and to Bruce Wolf. Was that all of your questions? John Wenger?
I think that is it.
I guess so. I guess we have lost him. Oh, there you are. I'm asking. He just walked into the room. He's here in person.
Oh, no.
We're at the radio station. So I guess that means we're moving on to you, R. Paul. Okay, so please take the floor.
Okay.
They kicked him off of his phone because they were having a meeting in that room. He'll hunt for another phone. Okay, go on, please.
Okay. There was a motion passed by the LSB Finance Committee, and this is the motion, and I have a question about it. I said I would bring it to the NFC. I brought it last year, and it kind of didn't get addressed. So I'm bringing it again because people are talking about this issue again. The motion that was passed by the LSB Finance Committee was, the Finance Committee asks the LSB to allow the Finance Committee members to be able to go into executive session with the understanding that members will have to sign a confidentiality agreement and be subject to the same conditions as LSB members. Quote, I should point out that the WBAI LSB our committee structure is such that anybody can join the committee who attends three meetings in a row. If you attend three meetings in a row, you're a member of the Finance Committee. You can be anybody. You don't have to be an LSB member. Anybody who walks in off the street.
Do you adhere to a staffing policy that closes committee membership after the first 3 months of the year, or is this throughout the year?
Anytime.
Oh, wow. And do you keep the equal number of LSB members to members of the public, or do you allow the public? Oh, that's totally in violation of something. We got to work on that. Oh, I'm serious. Like we've got strict rules on that. You cannot have, like, more members of the public than LSB members on any committee. And if, like, an LSB member drops off, you got to draft somebody or kick a member of the public out. We're strict about it.
I can't let that
happen. That makes your committees run amok.
Oh!
No kidding.
That's
right?
A violation of something.
Oh, you know it is. I can feel it in my bones. Go ahead, R. Paul.
I can tell you, I could forward the enabling motion to the
Would you please?
The enabling motion says there have to be two LSB members on the committee.
And, what?
Yes. And basically, for all the time it's existed, the Finance Committee has been overwhelmingly other people other than the LSB members.
What did
now,
you say
sometimes
after?
LSB members who are ex officio members can show up, and there are some LSB members who are members of the committee. We have more than two because they were there for more than three times, but any LSB member who shows up can automatically vote. So sometimes the LSB members do outnumber the non-LSB members, but most of the time that's not the case. In terms of membership, actual membership in the committee, non-LSB members predominate. I can send a membership list if you like.
So we need to have a PNB policy regarding staffing. This is what I'm talking about, these things where it's so disparate from unit to unit. It's unacceptable. You can't run a business like this. It's just, you just, wow, is all I can really say. Go on, R. Paul, it's your time. I don't even mean to interject like this. But.
I said I would bring this idea up. Some people are very hot for this idea, and they want the members, the non-LSB members, to be able to sign a confidentiality agreement, and they'll be able to be in an executive session. And I am bringing this as the treasurer who chairs the finance committee. As the treasurer who is a part of everything else here, I am not sure this is a good idea. We've had people who are members of the committee announce that they want WBAI to go bankrupt. So this person would be able to sign a confidentiality agreement and get various bits of information, and I wouldn't trust them as far as I could throw them.
Wow.
So this is the situation. I said I would bring it up. I'm bringing it up. Maybe it should go to the PNB. Maybe it should have something come out of here, but there you go.
Wow.
Wow.
You're in trouble, man.
And this is Lauren, and might I add that he is telling the truth, that that's what I experienced last year at BAI.
Wow. You know, I really have to say that it just points to the lack of policy at the national level, because these things should not be, like, so open to ad hoc interpretation at the local level, because this isn't affecting, you know, the specific things that are voted on. This is just making sure that you have cohesive committees that are populated by people who actually attend meetings on a regular basis, and there's some continuity, and not just popping in and out to make votes run way, one way or another. I mean, that's terrible. So what is it sorry. Go ahead.
I just think it's a governance issue. That, you know, the PNB, as the governance committee, needs to decide who can actually be members of these committees.
Yeah.
There's some guidance. Pardon me. May I, Madam Chair?
Yes, please.
There's some guidance, fortunately or unfortunately, on the bylaws. And, of course, I'm a member of the local governance committee here at KPFT also, besides everything else. And we're reviewing the standing rules of our local station board. And and the position that we take here is that everything that is not covered by the bylaws as it relates to how the local organization works is then explained, or policies made by the local standing rules that govern how we proceed ourselves, and of course it's through Robert's Rules of Order. And our standing rules are based on Robert's Rules of Order, and most of the questions that, most of the issue that ARPOL is bringing before us is obviously a lack of following Robert's Rules of Order in an organized manner. And of course, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying, because Roberts basically points out all of those things, who can be on the committee, who can vote, all of that stuff. So I don't know if I might disagree just a little bit with you on this one, Summer, that maybe the board doesn't need to get involved, but how can we get governance to spread around the concepts of Roberts Rules to the other stations? However, I will be quiet now, because ARPOL's question has not been answered. How do we answer ARPOL's question at this moment?
Well, there are two separate questions. We actually have a very, a short one-page motion that was passed regarding staffing issues on committees. The problem with Robert's Rules of Order is it's dense and thick. People have to go buy their own copy, and then they need a parliamentary education to understand it, so they simply don't read it at all.
That's
why we have to have shortened rules that cover specific topic matters that say, and this is the rule on this issue. Quit arguing about it, because people just spend all their time arguing over crap, and we never get any business done.
Yes, ma'am.
And I think that, we have a rule here. It's a simple thing. Somebody handed it to me in a meeting last night, because this was going on in a debate, and I'm like, yeah, isn't it like you just can't have more members of the public than LSB members. That's how it works. And then somebody hands it to me, and there it is. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I was talking about, that thing right there. And some version of that, because we should address that issue now that ARPOL has brought it to our attention. Whenever you have said that your finance committee is chaotic, I've never understood the dynamics of why it is so chaotic, and you just revealed them, because there are no rules regarding membership, really. The issue on confidentiality, I'd like ARPOL, would you elaborate a little more, because, we go into confidential session with our treasurers on the NFC, and certainly here at our local finance committee, we have confidential sessions sometimes that include people who are not LSV members, but with the situation you're describing, it's very wide open, so... where do you want to go with this? Because it sounds like it may need a little further discussion.
Well, basically, I said I'd bring it in, and that's what I'm doing. I mean, I
Okay.
I don't know that the NFC can give an ironclad ruling, but certainly the NFC could probably make a statement and or just make a statement that says bring this to the PNB and let it decide on it. That might be the thing to do, because if the PNB says you can't do that, that'll probably settle it, I think. Or if the PNB says you can do that, that'll settle
it. I have a question for our Paul.
Go ahead.
Does it have anything to do with the classical, this concept of the BAI local finance committee wanting to go into executive session? Does it have anything to do with the rules on executive session, legal matters, or employees, names and amounts of remuneration?
Let me say this, and this may shock some people. Pacifica does have a rule about salaries. And the Pacifica rule about salaries is that the LSBs themselves don't get the full salary deal. What's supposed to happen is that the treasurer gets the actual real-life salary, and then the treasurer can hold an executive session with whoever is allowed in that executive session, and the executive session can have, at that executive session, the treasurer gives the names and positions and a salary that's plus or minus within $3,000. That's the Pacifica rule from years ago. And I know it was in place in 2004 because the first BAI treasurer did just that. And so we got that in 2004. So I know it's a six-year-old rule. So the treasurer is supposed to take the actual salary and change it to somewhere within plus or minus $3,000 so that nobody knows exactly what somebody's getting, but within a range, and then give that to the LSB members. And only the LSB members can see that. And so that's how it's supposed to work. And we have, in fact, had some executive sessions of the Finance Committee. And in the past, these have all been LSB members only. So that's why there is now this particular motion that, again, came up last year. And some people want this to be stuff that could cover, I mean, it's not precise, because I think some people are saying, well, of course, salaries wouldn't be included in this, and of course, legal issues wouldn't be included in this. But I don't know. I mean, you know, that as it is now, that would be an argument during a meeting.
May I ask you something, R. Paul?
Yep.
Because I perceive that the committee staffing issues, the problems that you have in terms of committee composition, are the crux of the matter, because when you have a stabilized committee, it's easier to, not always, but at least there's more reliability in getting people to sign confidentiality agreements because you're working with the same people every month. Do you wish to see your committee membership issue stabilized, like at the national level? I think that would facilitate the confidentiality issues. Do you perceive that as being the case, that would help?
Maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm very leery about handing out, you know, having an executive session with somebody who may have attended three meetings and is hostile.
Of course.
I'm very concerned about that. On the other hand, we have lived with some of the chaos over the years of the way the committee is. And sometimes the committee works okay, and it's fine. Sometimes it can get a bit loud. And so I'm sort of neutral on the PNB deciding committees per se. My sole thing is, what if the LSB says, yes, hold your executive session and have confidentiality things for people to sign, at which point I'm sort of in a pickle, because I'm going to say, I don't think we can do this. And if the whole LSB says to do it, then, you know, that's a problem. So that's why I'm kicking
I have a question for our Paul.
Yes. Go ahead, Alberto.
A quick question, our Paul. Again, I want to focus back. Somehow we're getting a piece, you know, the piece that comes to us. When this issue about a confidentiality, the concept of having executive session at the Finance Committee, does it have to do with salaries and legal matters, or it came out of the sky and somebody said, well, we're going to have an executive session because we want to talk about something that might not be business for an executive session, sir?
Well, okay, that's sort of like two parts. The now, precisely what we were talking about when this came up, I can't remember right off the top of my head. It'll be in my notes, but I can't remember it exactly right now because this happened last year. The reason it's coming up again at this point is because people are talking about doing it. So,
doing what?
Of having the LSB say, yes, do this.
And this is to review, like, the personnel portions of budgets and things of that nature at the Finance Committee, or is this applying to your entire LSB?
This would be, this is only about the Finance
Committee. See, I perceive that, for one thing, treasurers are in a different position because they are elected by the local boards and they are officers, so they're charged with certain duties, okay? So extending confidentiality to them seems like a no-brainer in terms of, you know, they sign off on an agreement, bam, they're officers, you know. I personally don't think you can deal with the confidentiality issue without stabilizing your membership situation and having some sort of, you know, there are different ways to handle it. Like, people can review confidential documents but not take them out of a room, you know. I mean, and these are all things that should be set up policy-wise. But I think when you have unstable membership, then you have a much higher propensity of people who may come in simply to access data that otherwise have no interest in what you're doing on the committee. So I don't know. Do you want to make some sort of a motion, R. Paul, regarding this, or do you just want to bring this to our attention? We'll chew on it a little more and come back to it next week. What is your feeling on this? Because I feel you have, like maybe three issues here that all tie together.
All right.
Q, please. Q.
Yes, of course.
I could certainly wait till next week. The LSB is not meeting. I don't know if the LSB is even going to ever address this, but the LSB doesn't meet till August 11th. So if we meet on 3rd, we'll be, you know, that's plenty of time.
Okay, and John Wanger, you wanted to weigh in. Please do.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this for quite a while, and in terms of my background, I was an extremely active member of the KPFK Bylaws Committee, which was the last committee in the network to ratify the bylaws, and I was leading the opposition against these bylaws. So I've got a long history about these things. I took some time off because I kind of got burned out from that whole experience. But what I believe is that the classification of salaries is, I believe, a design element designed to screw up the governance by the financial, by making the financial process just too damn cumbersome to deal with. And so what we need to do, in my view, is to declassify salaries, and that may require bylaws to do it, but certainly we have precedent. The governor of California, we're a California corporation, he's got a public salary. The mayor has a public salary. We could declassify these salaries with bylaws, things. We could have contracts so when people get hired into KPFK and the other stations, their salary becomes a matter of record, just as it is for many government employees. And we need to do this. We need to explore this to the maximum possibility, because this will open us up. We, by having this lack of transparency, we muddy the waters tremendously. And
thank
that's
you,
what
John.
I believe. And we need to find a way to do it, because otherwise, it's just too damn tedious. We cannot think clearly because we don't have the data.
Alberto on the stack.
Okay, I'll put myself at the end. Go ahead, Alberto, and then I'll...
Just quickly, at KPFT, R. Paul, only members of the local station board can be members of the local finance committee.
Exactly.
Thank you. That's it, Summer.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, R. Paul.
One of the issues, I think I'm remembering it's come up, we're going to be moving at some point.
Yes.
And there will probably be things to discuss about that, which would probably go in executive session. And I think that's one of the things that people have cited for when the... everybody else should be able to be in that executive session.
Sure, and you've got all the legal matters that come up which require, that have financial components and that need to be discussed from time to time. Those require executive session. And I think, frankly, on the staffing issue, I mean, these are not public employees working for the government. These are employees working for a private foundation. And there are legal implications to revealing the salaries of people. We need to get definite legal advice on that before we could just say we're going to declassify everyone's, because people can't sign away various rights guaranteed to them via contract. So I'm not sure what our position would be there, because there's a difference between executive level staff and just regular staff. And anyway, we need to. I'm not opposing it. I'm simply saying we have to have appropriate legal.
It's a touchy issue.
Yes, because we can't just assume that there's no problem with revealing that information. We can find out. You know, it's definitely something that's ascertainable. So go ahead, John.
Yeah, I'm proposing it as a research question, and I fully stipulate that for things that have to do with contract matters, legal costs, moving things around, negotiations with contractors to make a move or whatever, there's perfectly good reasons for having classified executive sessions. But I'm just saying that if it were possible, as if we could research this, and if it were possible to declassify salaries, this would make things a hell of a lot less cumbersome, and we should therefore do the research.
This is LaVarne.
Go ahead, LaVarne.
I think the top eight or whatever salaries are actually listed, or five are actually listed on I-990. So that's clear. It's just the, it's like the salaries for individuals. That's what's not, that was agreed not to show. I mean, in case, because basically it's like, a need to know. You need to know, what the top salaries or wages are and who those individuals are, so you can address any issues with them. But in terms of the other individuals, it would be based on a need to know.
Yeah.
And where does that come from historically?
Our Paul for this a little bit?
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I used to be chief steward at BAI for the union before they shoved the staff out. And one of the issues here is a lot of people who work at Pacifica stations have a certain skill set, and they end up working at Pacifica stations for less than they would generally get at a for-profit place.
This is true.
And one of the things that can happen is, if you're working at, say, WBAI for X amount of money, which is not a great salary, at some point you may need to go find another job for whatever reason. If the prospective employers all know that you are working for this real lowball salary,
right,
they're going to expect you to work for maybe a little more, not anything near what you would, So if they don't know it, you can say, I want, this real living wage that I can live on for the next several years. And they don't know that you've been working for,
Right, I completely agree. There are huge implications to reviewing.
Muchos.
All I can say is I'm happy to make it an agenda item, but it's one of those things. There are huge legal implications, and I don't think it's a free and clear, like, no big deal, change the bylaws, because the bylaws really aren't the thing that govern this. It's employment law that governs this, and there are laws about these things. So, it's just like having to keep confidentiality on applicants for a job. That's not for our benefit. That's for their benefit, because we're required to do that. So anyway, I'm happy to look at it further, but I think we would definitely need to get some real legal information on where we would stand with that and how far it can go down the food chain,
Bruce,
can I say something?
I'm sorry, yes, Bruce. Of course, we haven't heard from you all evening. Please.
I've been listening.
I know you have, and I know you're up next, too.
Well, I'll try to. It just seems like we've really strayed from our Paul's original question.
I agree.
And I just want to say that at least with our finance committee this year anyway at WPFW, I think this may have been the first time we've done it this way. We've got a small committee made up of people who they're LSP members and the business manager who have been working together now since February. And once we knew that we had a good team, we basically decided to close the meeting, particularly to not non-LSB members, and we weren't even really looking for more LSB members because we agreed that confidentiality statements aren't really worth the paper they're written on. Getting people to sign those and then thinking that something's going to stay confidential. See, what you need are people who have shown through their work that they are serious and trustworthy, and when we had that, we didn't want to jeopardize it. So we did have an experience where just a regular listener showed up one evening at one of our meetings and wanted to be on the committee. And essentially, and this was, we were all agreed on this, we just thanked her for wanting to be on the committee, but told her we we're not going to take anyone else, and we advise you to go try out one of our other committees. And, you know, we worked in conjunction with our chair, you know, board chair, and we reported what we did to our total board so they would know. And, but the point was, is we were in the middle of the budget process, we still are, and we didn't want to jeopardize. And we based our right to do it. When I looked at the bylaws, while they state clearly who's going to be on the NFC, the National Finance Committee, mm-hmm. when it comes to the local board, it's not clear. And basically what it says is that the LSB can create committees as it sees fit. And while basically committees are open to everyone, if it's any issues at all that have to do with, that could be confidential, then we have the right to admit who's going to be on that committee. For instance, we did the same thing with our mask committee. And, in fact, they were even more severe. That was the only committee where we actually voted people onto the committee. But in our case, we decided that myself as treasurer and my finance committee is that essentially the raw budget, the 2011 budget that we're working on, is all confidential until we're ready to present it to our board, you know, for approval, and then it'll be open to everybody. But because we're talking about cutting money from not just individuals but from whole departments, and you know, we're looking at revenues and everything, we just felt that we had a right to treat the whole thing as confidential.
So, and Bruce, let me ask. Go ahead.
So, anyway, I'm just saying, I'd recommend our Paul.
Let me ask you a question, Bruce. Do you have any members of the public on your finance committee,
no.
or are they only LSB members?
LSB.
No, we don't have anyone from the public. We did say, we agreed that after the process is finished, so hopefully we'll be on schedule. So by October, we would reopen the committee to membership. And at that time, you know, we may be more open because we'll just be discussing things that are already, you know, in the budget. They're not talking. So what we've developed is that in order for the budget committee to do its work, we have to put everything on the table. We have to talk frankly and openly about everything. And that means saying things that, if it were to get out, you know, could hurt people's feelings, frankly, and cause, you know, our object wasn't to create turmoil in the station. By the way, the proof of the pudding was that even without that, the staff and the at the station are in turmoil anyway, because they all feel that, you know, something's going to happen. And the thing is, you know, we weren't out there to create, you know, that kind of thing. We felt it was really important to be able to discuss things openly amongst ourselves, but not have it broadcast everywhere. And we felt we couldn't have someone in the meeting that might have a different agenda.
Okay, thank you. We
had the right to, I mean, based on the bylaws, we felt we had the right to make that call.
Sure.
Well, it just sounds like we have dramatically different interpretations of what, mm-hmm. You know, like a good idea, that range all the way from having, like, we have a rigid policy as to how many, you know, LSB, the ratios. New York has a wide open policy that allows everyone in, and D.C. doesn't let anybody in, so obviously we run the gamut. And
also at KPFD, only LSB members can be members of the Finance Committee.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
And in Berkeley, we don't have a finance committee locally. We're sorry.
You guys are kidding me. You don't have a finance committee?
We don't have a finance committee. We thought about setting one up this year. In prior years, we simply had Brian Edwards Seekert.
You got to be kidding me.
No, it would be wonderful without a finance committee. There would be it would be such a waste of time.
Wow.
So I think this year anyway, you know, the finance committee would contribute nothing to the process, I'm quite sure.
Wow, so you don't even have a finance committee. That's sort of shocking.
We did not have one for several years, which might have explained a number of things about the budgets that you guys got.
Yeah, no problem, I would think.
Yeah, but you know, that was
a process of another process. It's early.
Wow, you know, and that was never, you know, one does not get that impression when one is talking on a National Finance Committee call and you've got the treasurer and the PNB rep. You don't know that there's no finance committee behind it.
I guess that's...
Which is why we have nothing to contribute to this conversation.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know what, my friends? I would like to, I feel that, you know, Arpal, you've raised a very significant issue regarding confidentiality. This has been a very illuminating discussion, which just illustrates how differently things are done from signal area to signal area. Like, we have just run the gamut. Literally on finance committee composition or lack thereof. I would suggest if you are firm enough on what you'd like to have happen to turn it into a motion by next week's meeting. If you're not and you're just throwing this out there, well, then we're going to have to discuss it a little more, but it sounds like you have to resolve this issue sooner rather than later. So I would give it some thought, and if you think there's a course of action that you'd like to motivate the NFC to take next week, submit it to us. And then I think as a PNB member, I see that this stuff should get discussed a little further, because we have such a lack of uniformity station to station. It's not like we all have to do it exactly the same way, but there ought to be some guidelines. My God, you know, really. So I don't know. That's my suggestion. How do you feel about that, Arpal?
I think that's fine. I'll send some information along, certainly. We'll figure it out next week.
Okay, that sounds excellent. And maybe I'll share our staffing policy that got passed here, I don't know, a few years ago. And it's pretty decent. I mean, you know, it's better than just having people come and go through a revolving door.
Bruce is next.
Bruce would be next, yes.